Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Well, we made the observation this morning that you ladies need to catch up. The men have become a crowd. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, as I said that, I felt the presence of God. And that's the way God wants it. The men of this earth have left their proper place. Amen. They've left their proper place. They've stopped being the leaders. They've stopped being the men, the people who God designed to be the leadership of this world, and especially in the families and in the church. So to me, it's a blessing to see all these men here, to see God getting first place again. Even if it's just starting right here, that's fine. How many know once you get a fire blazing, it's hard to contain? Amen? Like the song we sing, the zeal of God has consumed me. It burns in my soul. It's a guiding force that cannot be quenched. It's a fire that cannot be stopped. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm excited this morning. How about you? I'm anxious to hear what God has this morning. But I'm also anxious to praise and worship Him this morning. How about you?
Praise the Lord.
Father, this morning, we lift our hearts and our hands to You, Lord. We give You praise. We worship You, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. We adore You, Lord. You are awesome in this place. We thank You for today. We thank You for Your presence. Lord, we thank You that You have given promises that You never leave us nor forsake us. That no matter what happens, those weapons that the enemy tries to devise against us can't prosper. They don't have any effect, Lord. Lord, we ask You for patience this morning because we don't stumble at the outcome, Lord, of what we're believing for. We stumble with the timing, Lord. But in Your time, You make all things beautiful. And You answer, Lord, right on time. You're never late. You're never early. You're always right on time. So this morning, Lord, I thank You for that. I give You praise. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. And You deserve all praise, Lord. This morning, Lord, we just thank You for the opportunity to give to You our praise and worship. We pray that it'll be a sweet smell and a sweet sound to You, Lord. That it'll bless You, Lord. And Father, we thank You for Your word which You've given to us. We thank You, Lord, it'll bring change. It'll bring correction and direction for our lives. And we give You all praise and glory for that in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this time that we have to come into Your house to worship You, to bow down before You, and to thank You for everything that You've done for us, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And we do know that Patrick is healed. We know that every one of us is healed.
Yes.
Because Jesus paid the price.
Yes.
And even though we may not see it manifest right away, we know it is done, Heavenly
Amen.
Father. And that's
Amen.
What we're looking forward to.
Amen.
That's what our hope is in. And You said You would give us a hope and a future. And that's evidence of it right there, Heavenly
Amen.
Father. We ask You to bless each and every person that's here this morning.
Yes.
We ask You to bless and multiply this offering that we are about to take so that we can continue to help those in this community and also be an influence to those throughout the entire world, Heavenly Father. We bring all this before You. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that's the thoughts He thinks toward us. Bill was quoting Jeremiah 29:11, and the thoughts that He thinks toward us are thoughts to prosper and not to harm us and to give us a hope and a future. Amen. Y'all ought to be confessing, my future's bright in God. Amen. My future's bright in God. Your future's bright in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While this world's wasting away, we're going on. We're being promoted in the kingdom of God in this earth. Never, ever, ever lose sight of the fact that we're victors, not victims. Amen? We're victors, not victims. It's amazing to me how the enemy comes and he plays on your emotions. He plays on your thoughts. I mean, crazy thoughts come. But I'm here to tell you today that if you'll take authority over those things, call those things which be not as though they are, and you cast down those vain imaginations, those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, you're going to come out happy and ready to go and full of hope. Amen? Amen? And then make the declaration, as I've been doing all week, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. Every time the enemy comes, I just said out loud, I am not giving up. I am not giving in. Y'all aren't catching on here. Amen. I like that. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, that shield of faith, just for those who may be new and may not know this, that shield of faith is not just a passive weapon to deflect those fiery darts. How many know there's fiery darts coming all the time? It's an aggressive weapon that not only deflects, but it grabs a hold of those fiery darts, extinguishes them, and violently throws them to the ground. Your shield of faith does that. The shield of faith. And how do we walk? How do we walk? By faith and not by sight. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We proclaim your glory, Lord. We proclaim your beauty, Lord. We gladly bow our knee to you and we worship only you, Lord. Once again this morning, Lord, we place you. We put you at the highest place in our lives. There is nothing and no one above you, Lord. You're the most important thing. You're the reason we live. You're the reason we get up in the morning. You're the reason we have breath every day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've given angels the objective of looking after us, Lord, and keeping us so that we don't even stumble and hurt ourselves when we do. We thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. We pray for revelation, Lord. We pray for lives to be touched by your word. Lord, hide me behind the cross. We want Jesus exalted in this place. We want his name. We want your name, Lord, lifted up, high and lifted up in this place, so that men are drawn to you, Lord. For your kingdom's honor and kingdom's glory, Lord. We praise you and thank you. Thank you for the change in people's lives, Lord, for touching lives today, Lord. We give you praise, thanksgiving. We extol you, Lord. We laud you. We sing Hosanna to you, Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. You are Emmanuel, God with us, Lord. We thank you for that. We give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was asked a question last week, and as I was looking through the Word, and I had some subjects. Anyway, I was asked a question. I know God was concerned with the person that asked that question. I think it wouldn't hurt us to all look at this and maybe get some deeper understanding, or maybe a clearer understanding. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. We're going to talk about the whole chapter, the entire chapter of John 14. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's giving them kind of an admonishment. And he's telling them exactly what to do, and he's explaining himself to them. If you have an edition like I do, or a version like I do, then you know that Jesus is speaking because the words are in red here in the beginning. Thank you for your word, Lord. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, the first thing we understand here is he's telling us, don't let your heart get troubled. It doesn't make any difference what comes, what you see, what happens around you or in your life. God is for you. And what does the Word say?
Nobody can be against you. In fact, it asks the question, who can be against you? Well, we know we have an enemy, but we have authority over him, so. Amen? Where's he at? Under our feet. Amen? He's our footstool. As we're seated at the right hand of God, he's our footstool. Verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, that word mansions has troubled some folks. I've heard it said that it means many rooms. I haven't looked that up. You can look that up if you want to. There's many rooms in God's in heaven. Amen? In the house of God. And he said, if it weren't so, I would tell you. If that wasn't the truth, I would let you know. Then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. The reason Jesus died was to fulfill the will of the Father. And in so doing, the reason he had to go is now that we've been redeemed and saved and given the tools that we need to give our lives to the Lord and walk with him and become the children of God, heirs and joint heirs, grafted into the vine, now he's gone to prepare a place to receive us because we've made that choice. And so the God's will for us would be fulfilled. He wants fellowship with us. Amen? That's what we were created for. Throughout eternity, that's what we're going to be doing, is fellowshipping with God, praising and worshiping him. Amen? Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's good news. Amen. Maybe some of you are saying, I'm ready. What's the holdup? You know, I got to tell you, more than any time in my life, I'm more excited right now than I ever have been. You all know me. I'm just an excitable kind of guy. But the point is that I'm more excited now than I ever have been. When I see the faces that are out here in front of me, when I see what God is doing in lives, in this little church, this, what seems to be an insignificant little corner of Lakewood, and what God is doing is amazing. It's a blessing. Y'all are a blessing. You know, Gene and I were on the way in this morning, and one of the things we talked about, it's, you know, sometimes we get confounded, you know, and maybe a little perplexed, and we wonder, God, but God, you know, how can you care about me and care about all these other people? Well, for you and I, it's impossible, huh? But God doesn't have a favorite. Yes, he does. You're his favorite. Put your name there. You're his favorite. And he can do that with every one of us. I don't begin to understand that. I don't begin to think that I have a handle on it or can comprehend it, but it's the truth. Amen. Amen. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. Then, of course, Thomas, like many of us, said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? And Jesus asked him the question, I am the way. First of all, he made a statement. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, there are those in this day and age who miss entirely. It's so plain and so right there in front of your face that they miss it entirely because it's too simple. How many know God's a God of simplicity? And yet he's a God of depth and deep things. Amen? The scripture that I'm reminded of is the one that says you have ears to hear and you have eyes to see, but you don't hear or see. Sometimes we get so busy looking for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. And there's some of us that God just flat has to draw us a picture. Amen? I resemble that sometimes. Come on now. Come on now. Jesus said to him in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. What he's telling Thomas He says, if you've been watching and you've been listening, I'm going to fulfill my Father's will. I'm going to do what's going to allow you to be drawn to me. And the only way you can be drawn to the Father is through me and what I'm doing in obedience to what the Father said. Are you with me? Verse 7. If you had known me, you would have also known my Father. Or if you had known me, you would also have known my Father also. Or you would have known my Father also. Amen. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. Why is Jesus saying this? The Scripture says, no man's seen God. Yes, you have. Jesus is the image of God in this earth. When He was on this earth, He was the image of God. He did the Father's will. He performed the Father's will, healing the sick, healing the lame, healing those who were oppressed, healing those that had demons, healing those that were financially broken. Amen? And that's a picture of the Father. Now, there are some who believe that Jesus came to save the world. No, He did not. He came to obey the Father and to fulfill the Father's plan to save His creation. Amen? Are you with me?
Praise the Lord.
So if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen the Father, because Jesus only did what the Father said to do, and He only said what the Father said to say. Amen? And Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. He was looking right at the Son of the living God, and He's saying, show us the Father. Jesus was the image of the Father in this earth, because Jesus wasn't about His own ways and His own things. He didn't have His own agenda. He only had the agenda of the Father. Obedience was the order of the day for Jesus. Obedience only. Verse 9 says, Jesus said to Him, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not, or you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Brian, this will answer your question. Do you not believe? Well, then they said, show us the Father. And then in verse 10, He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Two separate entities. Just like when we receive Jesus, He comes and then He sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. If you read in the book of Romans, read the first three or four chapters, it'll tell you that the Spirit of God comes in and lives in us, has taken up residence in us. He dwells in us. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good news. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. So Jesus is talking about another authority. The same authority, but the ultimate authority, Father God. But the Father, second half of verse 10, who dwells in me, does the works. It's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 11 says, believe in me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. There wasn't a time in history prior to Jesus where they saw the mighty miracles that had been done. God touched some lives, He did some changing of lives, but they never saw the dynamicness or the prolificness of the miracles that Jesus did until Jesus came. And then, on top of it all, before He left, He said, these things you will do, and even greater things in my name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then in verse 12 he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also and greater. See, I told you, it's right there. Works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. See, if he hadn't gone, then we wouldn't have been able to, the continuity of what's being said here would not be there. There'd be something missing. And if he hadn't sent the Holy Spirit, then we wouldn't have that guide and that teacher, the one who reminds us of Scripture. Amen. He reminds us of Scripture. The things you've heard in the past, I believe it's in Romans that I read that this week, that the things that you've been heard in the past, that you've heard the Word, and all of a sudden he brings it to your remembrance. When? I've told you many times, I've been out, been just going about my normal business, working on the job or whatever, and all of a sudden, or I'm just walking into a store. And the next thing I know, somebody, God had a setup. And they start telling me their whole life story. They don't know me from anything. But they detect in you and in I the Spirit of the living God. Did you hear me? They detect in you and in I the Spirit of the living God. And they ask of the hope. They ask you, why do you have hope? What's that hope that's within you? Why do you seem different than other people? And you're able to tell them about that hope. You're able to give them an answer because of Jesus. Because of the one who gave everything for me. Now I've given everything to him. Everything I am, everything I'll ever be, everything I own. Amen. Hallelujah. That'll get you goosebumpy. And whatever you ask, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, family of God. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Now, we just talked about that a week or two ago. Amen? Scripture says you have not because you ask not. It's time to start asking. That the Father, what's the reason he does it? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Everything Jesus did was to bring glory to the kingdom of God and glory to our Father God, the creator of this universe. Or the one who devised the plan. Amen? Jesus carried it out, but he devised the plan. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 14. And then, of course, in verse 15, Jesus begins to explain, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, there's been times in my life when I've been on the job, and people have noticed, Bill, you don't talk like we talk. What's going on? You just opened the door, son. I'm coming in, and I'm going to tell you all about why. Because I'm in this earth, but I'm not of this earth. Because I have the greater one dwelling within me. Because I serve Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Father who sent him. See, when God sets up things, like I say, when you're going to a store, I walked into the store one day, and it was one of the children, the youngest child of the owner of the business, began to just tell me everything about his life. And he came expecting something. I remember the story in the Bible about the one who came expecting. Amen? The man that was sitting in Acts chapter 3, he was searching for something. Paul said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, he gave him something that was beyond price. Something you can't buy, but something that God freely gave. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. In ourselves, we know that we're weak, but He is strong. And the strength that we have comes from that Holy Spirit that is the Comforter or the Helper. Amen? Is He a helper to you? When you're praying and something just isn't going right and you can't figure it out, and all of a sudden you say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me out, and all of a sudden there's an answer. Amen? See, He knew we couldn't make it on ourselves. On our own. In ourselves. We can't make it on our own. We need Him. We need something. We need His help. And so since He went to prepare a place for us, He sent one another one, or the third part of the Trinity, who is the Holy Spirit, to come and be in us and dwell in us, to motivate us, to drive us, to point us in the right direction, and to keep us on track. Amen? Amen. Amen. And not only that, verse 16, He says, that He may abide. He sent Him that He might abide. He who? He, the Holy Spirit, might abide with you forever. That's a long time. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Amen to that. Look around you. Because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. Why do you know Him? Because He dwells within you, or with you, and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Praise the Lord. Did He keep His promise? Amen. Verse 19 says, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. And let me try again. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. Because He lives, you will live. Now, what does that mean? You just get up every morning and be able to breathe and walk around. And that word live there doesn't just mean life. It's talking about far beyond that. It means life, and that more abundantly. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, it's like the song. How many remember the song, He didn't bring us this far to leave us? Called He didn't build His home in us to move away. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. Amen? Hallelujah. So He didn't just come and hand you the tools and say, okay, now have a good life. I hope you make it. He sent the Holy Spirit as that helper, that comforter. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus has never. He may not be physically in front of our eyes in a physical manner, but He's in front of our eyes by the things we see the Holy Spirit doing in and through our lives and by the Word of God. And we know He's present. Amen? Hallelujah. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. What did He tell you earlier? He said He's going to prepare a place for us. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Oh, there's a requirement here. He who keeps my commandments, or those whoever has His commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me. And He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. What did He tell you? He said, call upon me in the time of trouble. Well, I hope you're not just calling on him when you're in trouble. I hope you're calling on him all the time for wisdom, for insight, for peace. He is your peace. Amen. For those of you who didn't get a chance to hear, that you haven't had a chance to really talk to Brian lately, or since last Sunday, you know, that's one of the things that happened. When he came in here, he was a basket case, and rightfully so. He had the world coming in on his shoulders. And through the Word of God, and the time we spent together in the Word, ministering the Word, and the music and everything, by the end of the service, he is and he was a different man.
Let me reverse that. He was and he is a different man. And he'll tell you so. Praise God. And you know something? That to me is worth more than all the gold in this earth. I've got a new brother. Amen. Amen. Family of God just expanded by one. Amen. Hallelujah. Judas, and if you notice in parentheses, it says, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And that's an honest question. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. However, men remember the scripture that you may have heard when you were ready to get saved. So they told you that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if you'll open the door, he'll come in and he'll fellowship with you. He'll have supper with you. Amen. There'll be communion with you. Praise the Lord. And that's what he's telling these disciples now. We'll make our home with him. Who? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Well, now that makes sense. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. In other words, Jesus wasn't telling you his word. We've been talking about that for a few minutes now. It was the word of the Father. He was fulfilling the will of his Father. He was obedient to his Father. Amen. The Father who sent me. Verse 25. These things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now let me put this in a little bit of perspective. I can remember from the time that I gave my life to the Lord and knew what it was about. I'd go in and I'd hear a sermon that would just raise me off of my seat. I mean, it had touched my heart, just absolutely set me on my ear, build a fire in me. I mean, dear God. And the minute I walked out the door, I couldn't tell you one word that was said. And now, because of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, when I go out and I see somebody, or I come across somebody who's in need. Need of what? Need of encouragement. Need of a word from God. The Holy Spirit reminds me of His Word. And I'm telling you, there's some scriptures that I had not thought about in, well, we won't talk about how many years. And all of a sudden, it's right there. Why? To minister life to that individual. I think I told you all the story of one of the nurses that I had, or the nurse's aides that I had in the hospital. Her name escapes me. I want to say George, but that wasn't it. It was a funny name for a girl. I thought it was a funny name for a girl. Probably wasn't. A lovely young girl. And as we were fellowshipping there, we began to converse and talk about things, and she began to get to know me a little bit. I began to get to know her. And she went away to do her things, but she said, I'll be back just before I get off shift. And all of a sudden, laying there in bed, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, tell her this scripture. Or in fact, he didn't even tell me. He just dropped it in my spirit. And when she came back in the room, I knew it was for her. I can't even tell you what the scripture was now. I mean, maybe in a minute the Holy Spirit will remind me. But when I said it to her, the tears welled up in her eyes, because God had already been dealing with her the night before about the very thing that I told her. She was a lovely young lady. A big heart, a heart for people. And God was dealing with her. There's a call on her life. Where exactly that call is going to take her, what that call is not my business. It's God's business. But I can tell you, she's going to fulfill it. Because she's getting not only from where she fellowships, but God has been sending people to minister to her, to keep her excited, to keep her focus where it needs to be. Amen? I told Brian last week, I'm going to pick on Brian because Brian's a good example and it's fresh. I told Brian last week, God's been chasing you for a long time. He told me, man, that message was just for me. Well, amen. It was just for him, but it was just for us too. But the point is, it was what God needed for him to hear and what he needed to hear from God to change his life. And God changed his life last week. And you know what? God loves you the same way he loves Brian. He'll send somebody, even if it's just to minister to you, a word or two, or a whole bunch of words to encourage you, to build you up. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not done. He's not done. You're not done. Not by a long shot. Verse 27. Listen carefully. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, verse 28, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father. Well, we know by the word why he went. We just read it in the first part of this chapter. He's going to prepare a place for us. Because where he is, he wants us. The Father wants us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he proclaimed, my Father is greater than I. See, there's two. The Father and the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. And the greatest, even Jesus proclaims here, red letters, is the Father. Hallelujah. And now, I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here. So Brian, there are three. There are one, but there are three. One meaning they're all of one mind and one accord. When we give the marriage ceremony, we talk about how the two flesh become one. And the evidence of that is when you get to a certain point in your marriage where one will be talking and the other one starts to answer with the rest of the sentence. How many know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. God is omniscient and omnipotent. Satan is not. But these promises and this, what was written here in John chapter 14, couldn't be fulfilled if there weren't three entities. One who devised the plan, one who carried out the entire plan, first of all creating the earth, and then coming to redeem us. And then the Holy Spirit coming to live in us and dwell in us to show us the way to the Father. Amen? That's what it's all about. Show us the way to the Father. To keep us on the straight and narrow. It's in Isaiah. And I can't remember exactly what chapter. It's around between 32 and 37. I found the scripture yesterday that I talk about all the time. And no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to take that from me.
It says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is the way, walk in it. That's what it was. This is the way, walk in it. When we're at a crossroads and we're not sure which way to go, that's when the still small voice comes and says, this is the way, walk in it. Or when you've gotten yourself in trouble. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you've gotten yourself in trouble, you got yourself in trouble. When you turn to him, he doesn't stand up there with a big stick and tell you what a goof you are, how much you messed up, and doesn't ask you whether you'll ever learn. He says, this is the way, walk in it. Amen? Because he loves us. And I don't know about y'all, but I've never seen a person who really loves another person ever say or do anything that would harm them in a deliberate way. Amen. Everything Jesus did, he did for our good. And he did so that we could see the fulfillment of the promise of eternal life. In us, in other words, us going to be with him and the Father in eternity. Seeing him for who he is and the Father for who he is. Not just through this mirror, but face to face. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. And in chapter 14, you find and see the very real, very evident love of God. Amen? He not only went to prepare a place for us, but because of the Holy Spirit, he's making the way for us. He's showing us the way. Amen? Well, that only makes sense because he told us already in verse 4, chapter 14, he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody encouraged today? Praise the Lord. A love that is without and can never come to an end. How awesome is that? Even at the times when I was the biggest brat and stinker that ever walked on two legs, he never left me and he never forsook me. And he pointed the right way. Because of that, I'm here today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's give him praise this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for illumination from the Holy Spirit, for understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit, Lord. The revelation, the knowledge. Because of you, Holy Spirit, we hear, but we also understand the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If Jean can remember, which I know she can, the song, I want to sing another worthy song. Worthy, oh worthy are you, Lord. Worthy to be thanked and praised and worshiped and adored. Worthy, oh worthy are you, Lord. Worthy to be thanked and praised and worshiped and adored. Singing, I love
you, mighty God. Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, we want to give you an opportunity. There's a need here. We want to pray about it. Amen. We want to pray for you. Family of God, I want to remind you that John 1:17 says that you were not born by the will of man or the will of flesh or by blood. You were born by the will of God. And there's not a child that comes on this earth. I don't care what the listen to me carefully. I don't care what the circumstances are that birth came about. But that child is here because of the will of God. And God did not want that child to suffer. That's not His plan. And I'm here to tell you, man, if it's traumatic for us as adults to go through what we go through, then for these children, these operations and things are horrendous. Here's this innocent life that hasn't even had a chance to really live. And the enemy's attacking and trying to bring things, first of all, to steal faith, and second of all, to destroy a life that God put here. And we know that's not God. Amen? But I also know that if that's where their faith is and they want that child to go to be with the Lord, then that's between them and God. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm here to tell you right now, if there's anybody here who's still wondering what happens to babies, I promise you, until the age of accountability, and that is different in each child. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Please don't miss this. That's different in each child. They go home to be with the Lord. They go right straight to the arms of Jesus. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Right back where they came from. Amen. Yes, Harry. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, we ask for encouragement for Kathy and her family, Lord, and for Karen and Bob and their family. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord, that You're in control. We put You in control, Lord. Father, again, our desire is to see them raised up, completely delivered, completely healed. But when we say that, Lord, we also know that there's things we don't see or we don't know, Lord. I do know, Lord, that it's very hard to see your child suffer. So, Lord, for that reason, we put both of these situations into your hands. We've made our will known to you, Lord, our desire, and you give us the desires of our heart. But, Lord, again, not our will be done, but your will be done. What's best for those children? What's best for those families? And, Lord, I like it when a doctor says, at this point, it's better that we don't do what we were going to do. That puts it in your hands, God. That puts it in your hands. Hallelujah. You're the author, the finisher of our faith. And we thank you, Lord. We lift these people up. We send the word. These little children and these families, we send your word. Say peace. Receive peace in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Put your hope in God. We send the word and say that your eyes are being illuminated and that, Lord, you're going to get glory through this. What seems like a tragedy, Lord, and it is a tragedy, that can't be, unless you've gone through it, we can't understand it, Lord. But, Lord, you turn tragedies into good works. You turn what was meant for our harm into good because we love you, Lord. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Our prayer has been prayed. It's a prayer of faith. And we give you praise and thanks for the outcome. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Are all hearts clear? And Father, right now, I bless your people. I ask that your countenance would shine on them, that your favor would go with them, Lord, that the blessings would overtake them, Lord. And I give you praise and thanks for these people, Lord. You love them, and we love you. You love all of us, and we love you, Lord. Now we thank you. We sanctify the food and the fellowship, Lord. Bless it in Jesus' name. We give you praise and thanks for the provision and for meeting our needs. And now, Lord, we go in your name, in peace, and in joy, in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.